come over here. Well, we're having sort of some technical difficulties with mics, so come and sit over here with me.
Do you want, I could use this mic?
Yeah, use my mic.
Or that other mic?
I don't know if that was coming through either. I wasn't even looking. Okay,
All right, so I'll repeat then in case the sound did not come through in the past a few moments. Let me show you. It's side one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just play a short excerpt from a 10-hour work which John Cage and I performed together. It's his voice composition, Empty Words, and my music, Close Up. We have performed the entire work, the complete work, twice, once in Germany, in Bonn, and another time at Hartford, Connecticut. And the Hartford performance was actually broadcast on PBS, so you may have had it here. I believe it was in San Francisco. And just some background, the text is derived for John Cage's voice composition is derived from the writings of Henry David Thoreau, and my music is derived from short fragments of phrases that I've developed and composed with from actual source material that was recorded at Walden Pond in Massachusetts. Yes.
Ah.
So this is just a tiny segment actually from the Hartford performance. We're now recording this and mixing the tracks down. I normally mix six to eight tracks of this work in performance, and have just this past summer mixed the tracks to digital recording. But I don't have that here, but it is much clearer, and you hear many more of the melodies that were present in the place. But anyway, let's hear what we have now. Where's the EQ? Is it working?
Now.
That was some funkadelic, and now I'm getting horrendous feedback. What's my feedback from now, may I ask?
I don't know, Barb.
How strange. I'm really happy. Headphones. My headphones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put your headphones down on the floor.
Okay. Well, folks, I mean, really, have I ever been this bad? You can spank me when you want to. Okay, Marianne. Finally, Mary Oliver is sitting here. Marianne Amiche is sitting here. Tell me the title of the piece. Seeing as your mic, maybe your mic's working this time. Just say hi to the...
Let's check.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it is working.
Yes, it is. I'll put you up very far, much farther, though. Get right on top of it and, you know, or bring it right up to your...
All right, I think it's fine now.
Your mouth. Okay. I want to know, you said that the writing that Cage was reading was from Thoreau, from Walden?
Yes.
So what did you record at Walden Pond?
Well, the voice composition that John Cage made was from the text of Henry David Thoreau, and he derived his... four parts of the Empty Words from the journals, and the sound that I used to compose the music was originally recorded at Walden Pond, and then short fragments of various phrases that I heard in the ear, various melodies, I then compose with them and develop the composition with those.
Did you record actual like concrete sounds like water and stuff, or just ambient kind of air sounds?
No, it was the winter, and there was snow, and it was very, for the most part, I made the recordings all at night, and it was very, very still, so the melodic fragments are just more or less various kind of threads that drift in from I don't know where.
It's very ethereal, you know, it's extremely beautiful.
Well, it's sounding much different now when I'm able to enhance the melodies much more so with the digital recording, because you can hear everything so clearly.
What's the, you said, did you, I thought I heard you say that it's a 10-hour piece?
Yes, it's 10 hours, and we performed it two times, the complete work. Once in Germany, in Bonn, West Germany, and the other time at Hartford. And it was also broadcast on PBS, the Hartford performance.
The 10 hours?
For 10
straight.
Hours, yes.
I think it would be good for KPFA to have that. I think that would be
well,
wonderful.
Well, they may have. It was a live broadcast, and I think San Francisco did have the
when
full
was
10
it?
Hours.
Recently?
No, it was some years ago. It was probably 1982.
So I mentioned earlier, I really am always interested with composers. Like, what's the very first music you can ever recall hearing?
The very first music. It's really hard to remember. I do have a strong memory that I never liked nursery rhymes very much, and I used to have a little record player, and my mother would often complain that I didn't like to sing like my friends, because I never liked them. I really didn't like them for some reason. I did sort of like to sort of make up songs.
Do you remember any
I
of them?
I didn't like the tunes. But
the songs that you made up.
Well, not really, but I suppose they're still around.
Well, did they have words
in one aspect
or
of music? Well, I think so.
Would you do? I mean, you don't remember one that you could do, do you?
No.
Or a facsimile?
No.
And did those nursery rhymes that you heard, were they just spoken or sung?
No,
like
they
little
were sung.
Kids
they were
records,
like Humpty
Dumpty
and
with
all of that.
Tunes and stuff.
It's just, it really puzzles me why I didn't, because I had no form taste, you know, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years old, but I just didn't like them.
There's such a thing as instinct, I guess, you know. Born with it in your genes or something.
I guess it was just something about the patterns.
Yeah. You know how it affected your nerve endings and whatever. What about sounds? Do you recall, like, very first kinds of sounds that made an impression?
Well, certain sounds I know used to frighten me a lot.
Like what?
The vacuum cleaner. And the brake or something that's on a train.
Uh-huh. That screech.
It's not even so much a screech as it's kind of like a hissing and a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one.
The sort of the air brakes type thing.
Yes.
Yeah, steam.
And I was terrified of the vacuum. So those I remember.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I remember? When I'm from Montreal, and I remember the milkman had a horse and a cart. And I remember the clip-clop of the horse's hooves on the pavement. There was no cobblestone, but it was pavement, and it was so
oh, such
beautiful.
Such a great sound, yes.
And women's high heels. I always wanted to be older.
To have the high
heels,
yeah.
Those are the two sounds I remember.
The horses are beautiful. So I always imagine Beethoven listening and Mozart and those guys to that.
Yeah.
horses, and the kind of rhythms that are in their music are really horse rhythms.
I think one of them, either Mozart or Beethoven, I think Mozart has some letter about that. You know, he was a wild letter writer, Mozart, and I think there is some letter about, you know, the horses, the rhythms and stuff.
Yes, I really, you really do hear the horses in those rhythms a lot. So it's sort of, for me, like this, that whole era was like horse music.
It's true. Do you think we'll ever do anything like that? I mean, we're so far from it in terms of those types of rhythms.
Well, I don't know. I think we're still with the horse rhythms, I think.
Do you think your music is with the horse rhythms?
No, not too much. I try to get out of it. But I occasionally make them.
When did you start being a composer? Were you very young?
Well, probably, because as soon as I started really playing my first instrument was the piano, and that's what I did. And I started making little pieces then. I guess I was 8 years old.
What were they like?
Oh, I don't know. I was fascinated with the pedal. And so the first one used a lot of holding tones with the pedal, and it was called Scottish Dance.
Gosh, I wish we had a piano here. That I keep wanting to simulate these things, and you're probably resisting and going, no, I don't want to play the Scottish Dance. But I mean, I'd like to hear it. And so what happened after that? You just kept playing. Did you play the regular classical repertoire that
yes.
most people had with piano lessons?
Yes.
What did you like? Did you play Beethoven and stuff like that?
Yes, Beethoven, Bach, Debussy, Liszt.
Did you play
I
well?
I liked them all.
Were you good? High school level or university or what?
Study what?
Composition, more piano, music.
No, I continued. I continued to study music through college, and I began to compose when I was in college, and I stopped playing the piano. As I had before at that time. But my degrees are in music.
Did you, when you first started doing pieces, do they resemble what you do now?
Well, probably... in a lot of ways they do. When I started to do my first real music, because I always wanted to be able to realize many things that I would imagine and find ways to discover them. And they weren't really, they did these sounds and these combinations that I imagined were really not in other people's scores. And so I had to learn what they were in the world. They were more or less inside my head or somewhere, and I had to find the way to manifest them. And it was really at the University of Illinois that I was able to do that, because I went into the experimental music studio, the sound studio, and I had access then to mixing facilities and electronic sound, and also there you had a wonderful combination of instruments too that you could work with. And so this was my real beginning, and right away then I saw that all these questions that I barely knew how to formulate, I was able to, I was able to realize them right away, you know, really with these means.
Did you work mainly on your own, or like who was there some kind of mentor figure who could help you out initially, or were you really working very much alone, or what, at that period?
No, well, shortly before that, I learned very much from studying a short period of time with Karlheinz Stockhausen, and that was very enlightening to me. Because as a teacher, he had a very, very helpful approach. And it was to find a way of teaching by which you somehow were able to find ways to define the parameters you wanted to work with, which didn't necessarily exist in music books or in other people's scores, but for each piece you would make up your own codes and your own definitions, and he had wonderful ways of doing this. It's not unlike ways that would be very applicable to programming right now.
Mm-hmm. How lucky
He had wonderful ways, and they were like shorthands to also ways of just clarifying different emotions and things like that.
I mean, that is so fortunate. I didn't know that. I mean, I think he's just the absolute ultimate mid-20th century composer, you know. And I didn't realize that at all, that you'd studied with him. What's that book that, is it by Jonathan Cott? What is it, Conversations, like the interview with Stockhausen?
Yes.
A wonderful book.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first experiences of Stockhausen was my teacher in Montreal, who just turned me on to new music and everything. We listened to Auf den Sieben Tagen for hours and hours and hours, and I was enthralled. I mean, I was in just a new world. I was in absolute nirvana. I had never heard anything like it before. And I was transfixed. It was quite an experience. So did you go to Germany or what?
Yes, I studied with him a little bit in Germany and also here in the United States.
So are you going to play something else in our meager facilities here? They're not meager. I'm just so inept at the board right now, you know. But I hope that we may possibly take a short break and hear some tunes. And would you like to play some tape?
Well, that, or maybe we could talk. I really, because I'm doing this work, this project that I'm doing right now does involve staging sound throughout a house, and my concentration is really in that situation. And so it's very difficult because I don't like the way to hear much of my music sounding, even in a room out of two speakers. and that
I can understand that
sort
that.
Of gets reinforced because of this right now.
But we're
that's
we're,
why
we're
I
selfish.
Played the
we want as much of you
that's
as we
why
can.
I played the cassette originally, because that is being made for a living room situation.
Well, we'll play a couple of tunes, and then I think Mark Trail will play some synthesizer, and we'll hear Mary Oliver, and Jordan Perry is playing harmonica, and maybe we can have a bit of a chamber group playing. I think that might. We'll set that up, and meanwhile, play some tunes. I don't even remember when I've done station breaks. So this is KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno, and FM 91 in Villa Grande. And I'm Barb, and this is Crack O' Dawn. And we've been talking to Marianne Amiche, and we will continue talking to her. But we're going to hear some Louis Prima, and some other stuff. So stay tuned and do call in if you have questions or want to chat or, you know, decide what color I should dye my hair for the new year. It's 848-4425. I don't know. Jordan, did you make those cookies?
No, Aaron made those cookies.
They're wonderful.
They're really great.
Nice Christmas cookies.
Gingerbread and oatmeal and shortbread. Mm. Long bread.
Okay, Cap Street. 3 months. You've been here 3 months and you're ready to leave the station right now to go back, clean it up, get it ready. What's going on?
Well, I've been making it work there for the past every Saturday. There was a different feature.
It's quite grueling, isn't it? You must be pretty tired.
No, it's just that you must continue working, and you make it. And even though the material, much of the material is there, it does involve restructuring and staging and working, you know, anew each mm-hmm. week, and it also involves the images. And a Saturday is the last performance, and
that's Saturday at 9 o'clock at Cap Street, the corner of 16th. And Cap is parallel to Mission; it's one block south. And there's no admission, and you really should come and take advantage of it. It's just a wonderful installation, house filled with sound and visual imagery. Who did you do most of the slides, and then Scott runs them, or what?
Yes, they're photographs that I've made.
Could you tell us a little about them before you leave?
Sure. I make a number of photographs in different ways. Often I use a macro lens, and I may re-photograph something several times through various processes. And they involve different textures.
The walls and ceilings are literally covered with them, too. So you walk in and into this wealth of color and sound. It's quite extraordinary. Well, Marianne, I want to thank you very much for spending this time with us. And I'd love to talk to you more. I'd love to be selfish and have you stay all night long, maybe another time.
I would
when
love
it's
to.
Totally
yes,
organized.
When I don't have to pack and travel for
yeah,
4 days.
We can have what my fantasy and would involve would just be having you sit here at the board and doing a continuous 4-hour mix is what I'd like to see. Mm-hmm. So if you ever make your way back, please, we'll be totally set up for you. That's what I would like.
It is hard to do, though, when you've been listening to sounds such as I've been in the past weeks, you know, staged throughout mm-hmm. out of house, and then to suddenly have to connect your thinking.
Well, maybe we can arrange for a concert, just a one concert situation, or a couple of if you do a West Coast tour or something, and we know better far in advance.
Sure.
And really do it up, quote, the right way. Thanks, Marianne Amashane.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So let's go now. This is no reflection, but let's go to Turntable 3. And Culture Side is going to give you a rendition of Depressed Christmas.